Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yep.
And he's going to hit the next 5-6. That does a lot for you, too.
If you're the Miami Heat and you know what you know and you are where you are you bringing back Tyler Hero for game 3?
Yeah.
You're bringing him back?
Absolutely.
You're risking the field goal.
He's been working for this. I wouldn't put anything on him. And I would let Duncan Robinson keep his place right now that he's got. I don't know. They play enough dudes that you can fit him in
probably,
and take some away from
probably,
somebody else.
He should probably take Caleb Martin's minutes. I mean, I know that they're different positions. But
Caleb has struggled with the length the first couple of games. Now, he had a little bit of a sickness. I'm not sure just how he was feeling. You know?
Yeah.
But game one, he struggled with Porter's length. In game two, they had Porter running all the way around, miscommunicating on switches, everything else.
He could take Kyle Lowry's minutes.
I was going to say Lowry.
If he's not playing well.
Yeah. They're going to get him in there.
But see, I think that's the other thing about Denver, right? It's like, okay, you get past their top two, and what is it really? What is it? I mean, you're depending on.
Usually it's Aaron Gordon, who first just took Caleb Martin to school game one. Yep. Bruce Brown's making good decisions.
That. Can't do that
they
on Kevin Kemba Love.
They only play eight dudes, and that's if you count Christian Brown.
And you don't.
Sometimes he's the eighth guy.
Yeah.
Sometimes he is something.
But like Jeff Green, come on, you know. I mean, you're just
he's in the seven.
It gets thin. It gets thin. You know.
It's three guys and a couple of role guys.
So I don't know. It's a. I think it's been a great series. I know not everybody agrees with that. I love the chess match. I mean, again, Denver has not been in this situation all postseason long. So how do they respond? I know this game opened up at Denver -1.5, and it's now 2.5, teasing three. So, you know, the market clearly thinks that Denver will respond with a win. And they are, you know, don't get it twisted. Like, they are certainly capable of doing that. But when has anybody in the entire postseason believed in Miami? Not one time. Never. I mean, they were plus, you know, whatever it was, 400 against the Celtics. They win that series easily in Game 7. And they had a 3-0 lead on the verge of a sweep. They were, you know, similar to that against the Nuggets. Second biggest, I think, underdogs in the last however many years. Like, the market has never trusted or believed in this Miami Heat, and all they've done the entire way is piss in their face, for lack of a better term.
10 wins as an underdog this postseason, most in the last 30 years.
7-5 on the road against the Celtics, Nuggets, and Bucks.
Yep.
That's amazing.
It is.
That's amazing. So, anyway, I think it's been a great final so far. I'm looking forward to Wednesday. Should be fun. I think, just my opinion, we're on different sides of this. I think Miami's going back to Denver up 3-1 with a chance to close it out in Denver.
Good grief.
That's what I believe. I mean, because I just think, you know.
What did you pick originally?
I didn't pick anything because I wasn't on the air. I would have probably said Nuggets, though, in 6 or 7. I think I would have said Nuggets in 6 or 7. But now I'm seeing, okay, the role players for Denver are shrinking a bit.
It's one game.
But do you trust Michael Porter Jr. and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, honestly? I don't.
I trust KCP. I don't trust Michael Porter Jr.
Who is gonna
KCP get, been good.
Who is going to get a lot of minutes and suck if he's not making shots. That's the issue, is that he's not getting taken off the floor, but
He played well enough defensively in game one.
Yeah.
But.
Well, you on game one.
Spoelstra adjusted and made him work game
right.
two. He was lost.
I just don't know what the
switches.
Adjustment to the adjustment is. So we'll see.
The adjustment
what that
is just Jokic getting more people involved. He can't do it.
They should have
way.
Never gotten rid of Will Barton. This is karma. Will Barton would be a piece for them right now, damn it.
You going too far. I said Denver in 5.
Well, that's crazy.
Nobody. And I said
Are you adjusting?
No.
You say still five?
Yeah, they're going to take care of business.
Not a chance. This is going six. You still gave two in Denver. It's going six, bro.
Man, we going down into Miami. We're going to get two.
That would be embarrassing for Spoelstra. That's another advantage that we haven't talked about. I mean, it's really still not even close. It's not quite Missoula level, but it's still not close. So that's another massive advantage for the Miami Heat. I just don't understand how this is the team that's going this far when they were better a year ago. That's the crazy part to me. You know, they were better with P.J. Tucker last year at the four spot, and they had a healthy Hero. Yet they're further, way further along than last year's group.
Yeah.
Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. They could really use P.J. Tucker on this team. Every team could use P.J. Tucker on their team. So.
Yeah, you too early to call this done.
3-1 is what I'm saying. That's how I feel. But I could be wrong. I could be wrong. So far, I'm 2-0, though. I'm 2-0 in my I did give out 8.5 on Twitter over at Superbook, and then for game one, and then I did bet Heat plus 9 for game two. If it gets to 3, I'll be on Heat plus 3, but I'm staying patient with that. It went up to 3 for a tick, got immediately bought back down. I need the 3 in my pocket. Not excited to bet 2.5. So we'll see where the line goes. But anyway, Heat, get the job done in Denver. 111-108. Jamal Murray misses a 3 to tie it, sending it to overtime at the buzzer. We'll come back with the rundown. Kyrie Irving has an idea. He has, maybe it's not so much an idea as it is a wish, maybe a demand. I don't know. This dude is out of his mind. Where does he want the Dallas Mavericks to look for that third piece of the big three? It's a familiar name. We'll come back. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN. Tops Barbecue, 17 locations in Memphis. All your barbecue needs. Newest location, 4199 Hacks Cross. They got it all. They got the smoked bologna. They got the fire braised chicken sandwich. That delectable barbecue that you know and love. Been doing it big for 70 years. Tops Barbecue. Get over there today.
Yep. Fire braised chicken sandwich is fantastic. Had that recently. Smoked bologna sandwich. Still very good. Always going to be good. 17 locations. Can't wait to tell you about the next one. Been keeping my eye on that construction. Hopefully eager to tell you about that soon. Hopefully we'll be given that chance. Yeah, John's right. Tops Barbecue. They've been innovating, doing it a long time. Was 40-something years old before I knew about the Fireman Burger. That's the number one rated burger with their fantastic barbecue combined. Try that, but bring your appetite. Whatever it is, Tops Barbecue's got it for you from breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Tops Barbecue, 70 years and still smoking. Every day around this time, we like to do the rundown. Let's go.
It's the rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Memphis picks up a commitment from St. John's graduate transfer. Yes, that's very important. Means he can play right away. David Jones. David Jones, who John Rothstein believes could be a candidate for American Athletic Conference Player of the Year as a Tiger in this conference. Coming over from the Big East, coming over from St. John's, where he averaged 13.2 points, 6.8 rebounds, and 25.7 minutes per game. Kentucky was also involved. Xavier, I believe, was his last visit. Heard some, seen some Twitter scuttlebutt that Kansas State was trying to make a late push. Penny gets it done. David Jones right now would leave Memphis with one open scholarship left, I believe. And that's not counting DeAndre, I don't believe.
Okay.
And so that's where you're at now. Could a second come open? Yes, if Memphis elects to cut ties with Mikey Williams, who right now is obviously, you know, he's got the 6 felony charges facing him over in California from an incident stemming from his home. Penny Hardaway spoke to that this morning. Not at a point where they're doing that, where they've cut that tie. So, you know, you could get to 2 if you decide to do that. And, again, you could be done if you end up, for whatever reason, whatever scenario plays out where you kept Mikey and you get DeAndre Williams eligible, you could be done right here. You know, Jalen Young, I guess, still in the plan, supposed to get here next month, the UCF transfer. And the only other guy that's unaccounted for is Teofile Leonard, and he's coming in. I think it's just grades now in terms of him not being here, but everybody else is accounted for in here, including freshman J.J. Taylor, the high school teammate of one Mikey Williams. So he's not waiting on Mikey Williams to get here. J.J. Taylor already here. Back to David Jones, what it does. John gave you a hot take. I think he's going to be the team's leading scorer. I thought, whoo, came in here hot from Serbia. I was a little bit of a not so fast because I still like my guy Caleb Mills as a potential lead scorer. But then I think we came to a, probably came to an agreement between the two of us. Between, again, if you can get DeAndre Williams eligible, between him, Caleb Mills, now David Jones, it's three guys probably who could be leading you in scoring. They're probably going to be all similar in terms of where they could shake out, all in the teens possibly. Again, my thing with David Jones, 29% from three last year. Now, that's 42 of 143. He did lead the team in three-pointers taken. Brad and I talked about last week, you know, that he was not on a good St. John's team, but they clearly had the confidence in him to take those shots. You're hoping those percentages can go up in a, you know, a much better fit, much better offense here at Memphis. Again, a lot of this looks a lot better if you've got DeAndre Williams sitting in the middle of it. That one's up to the NCAA. But a good get for Memphis, Xavier, Kentucky, UConn, Arkansas with some other
things. Yeah, I mean, it's not easy to beat Sean Miller for kids. And also, I think it once again crystallizes the record of Penny Hardaway when he gets kids on campus. Jaden Bradley was the only one to ruin that.
NIL casualty.
Yeah, I think every other visit that they've had, the guy has committed.
Feels like it, but there might be one or two other ones there.
Just Jaden.
Maybe so.
That I can think of in terms of this
I mean, yeah.
And this circle. They don't usually
– right,
and, you know, they don't usually – and the new era, they don't waste visits. Penny doesn't. Mm-hmm. Penny doesn't. Like, if he brings you on, you're going to commit.
Mm-hmm.
With with the other one.
I thought so.
Amzil.
I'd forgotten all about him.
Mustafa.
Yeah.
That's the only other one. Jaden and Mustafa. I don't know. We got to look at the record here. I think that, what does that make them? 5-2, maybe? The kids that come on campus. I mean, It's pretty good.
It's a high success rate.
It's pretty damn good, man. Yeah.
He doesn't bring them on unless he thinks he can.
Yeah, no, I think that, it's.
And you saw Sean the next day, like, he was in the pictures with David Jones. They brought the sword out and everything.
Yeah.
When the head coach is in the pictures with the kid, they're trying everything they can do, to your point.
Yeah, I think that's, all of it is through the lens of having DeAndre in the fold, though. I would say if you don't have him, if you can't get that waiver, then it changes the ceiling a bit.
It's dangerous, man, because like Penny said this morning, you're passing on guys right now hoping that you get DeAndre in there. You could use another big if you don't have DeAndre. You put it this way. You desperately need another big if you don't have DeAndre.
Absolutely.
You could probably get by without another one if you've got DeAndre in the fold.
Absolutely.
Especially if Lennard's like growing.
Well, they did it last year.
They said he's 6'10 on the license.
They got through without a true, big last year, right?
Yeah.
It was Malcolm and Chandler and DeAndre.
I mean, KO was swatting in the time he was there.
KO was irrelevant.
I mean, but you had told yourself going into the season, we have a rim protector. You don't have that this year.
Well, yeah, but he didn't do it.
He didn't do it, but you told that you had that position checked
right
going into the season with how they felt about
KO. But you feel like you could.
And he has some, against the scrubs, he has some big block games.
He wasn't like.
They got nothing like even close to that this year.
Yeah, but he was in the rotation. So you could feel pretty good about running it back with that same front court of if you bring Malcolm back and DeAndre or Chandler and DeAndre, and feel.
I don't see how you bring Malcolm back.
You have Jordan. So Jordan would start.
I was going to say,
floor,
right.
Yeah.
Unless you're giving Malcolm Mikey scholarship.
Yeah, so Jordan was a good shot blocker. Then you have, do you start him at the five and DeAndre at the four? Like, whatever. It doesn't really matter to me what number you assign to it. It's irrelevant.
Right now, it looks like to me it's Young at the point.
Yep.
Caleb Mills at the two.
Yep.
David Jones at the three. I'd put Lennard at the four next to Williams at the five. Jordan is depth.
No, you're right. You're exactly right.
He's on draft boards. You're definitely going to have him in the starting lineup.
Yeah, no, you corrected me. You're exactly right. Lennard's going to start at the four. And be that sort of rim protector, high flying guy,
athletic act, the activity level.
What KO was supposed to be, but was not. And yeah, dude, I think that's a damn good five.
One that could challenge FAU for the title.
I think Jalen Young is, based on some film that I've seen, I think there's some
you
significant
like him.
Upside.
I'm surprised how much you like.
Yes,
him.
I think there's significant upside to him. Now you got to get it. So I could see where, if they feel like there might be, you always keep your eyes and ears peeled. But I'm just saying, if you went ahead with Jalen Young as your starting point guard alongside the rest of that team, I think it could actually look really, really good.
And well, I'll be honest with you. I'd rather have him starting than Mikey Williams starting.
Not even close.
Trying to depend on Mikey Williams to do it and learn it on the fly. So, but I'm still not convinced that Young.
Mikey Williams is not part of my equation right now.
But Young's job won't be as tough if he's got the other four out there.
Yeah, the Memphis
around him. That's a pretty good four.
Exactly. It'll be a lot better than UCF was last year.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Well,
I was just thinking, Taylor Hendricks is a pretty good player. But other than that, you're right. I mean, yes.
Man, Johnny Dawkins loves you, man. You repping the hell out of UCF.
Well, they beat you, didn't they? It was hard against UCF last season. Memphis.
Yeah, you're right. They did get you in
and
UCF.
Then they folded. You were the best. Yeah, they played you better than they played anybody else because after that, it was pretty bad for Johnny.
I mean, was that two OTs or just one?
I want to say it was double.
I think it was two.
Yeah.
That was an epic game. Epic little sneaky AAC game. Now they're off to the Big 12 where they'll be joined by UConn apparently.
Well, we're going to be going, folks tell me. Right, Brad told me last week we're going Big 12, aren't we?
Yeah, that's the issue.
I'm messing with you, Brad. That's what John does to me.
That's the issue.
Now it's not. It was us in Colorado last week. That's what all the I hesitate to even get into it because this is what happens.
I know
people get their hopes up.
I think
the report's different the next day.
Knock me over with a feather that you didn't talk about realignment, bro.
Amen. Yeah. And it's a clickbait. I hate to call it clickbait, but it's a clickbaity story, right? The minute you put Memphis and conference in a sentence,
it's
like it's a magnet. Now, I'm not saying that people aren't doing their jobs. I'm just that
there was the initial report from Dellinger, right? From 2.5-3 weeks ago.
That Memphis was a target or a possible target?
That Memphis was on the list.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then I think what ends up happening is you sort of lose the head of the snake a little bit. And you don't know where it originated from. So then people, you know, Tim Buckley from the Daily Memphian wrote about Memphis aggregating what I believe Ross Dellinger reported. So then that gets interpreted as Tim Buckley from the Daily Memphis reporting that Memphis is on the short list. And then we just sort of lose the plot a little bit. We don't know who said what and when.
That's fair.
And then it's like,
it's a good thing we're mentioned in the sentences, though. That's the positive,
I think,
right?
We got to be past the point of mentions in the sentence, bro. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, but I mean, after not getting the Big 12 the first go around, it's like we need some sort of
first go around, second go around,
every go around.
Yeah, there's been a lot of go arounds that Memphis is not. So to being mentioned on the list is obvious. If you're not mentioned with the group of five that is left,
that's fair.
You should shut this thing down. Okay. Now, getting in is a whole different subject. I have to believe that landing David Jones does get you closer to Big Ten. I would say, why stop at Big 12?
It's 150 to 200 million. Hoping to put into the sim. You didn't know about that.
The sim.
It was nicknamed while you were gone.
Nah, I hate that nickname.
You can't hate
it.
That'd be hating on Jarvis.
It sounds like the
sim. And I saw Jarvis the sim.
The simp.
It's good. What's wrong with the simp?
Because it's too close to the simp. It's like, hey, y'all, we finna go play the simps.
I mean, it's
simp.
Better than saying Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium, which is
the simp.
It's no.
It's too close, bro.
I kind of thought it when I heard it. I didn't say that to you, though, Jason.
The simp.
It's not mine.
Who came up with
it? But it's done. Once Jarvis Greer calls it the simp, it's done.
Jarvis, yeah, that's what it is. It's too close to the simp.
Only you hear that. Only you
no,
hear that.
No, bro.
The Showboats are 5-3. There's nothing simp about them. Now, if you were talking to an 0-8 team, I could see that hanging over you your first year. No, folks would go, no, we're not calling it it's not the simp. It's the sim. Rolls off the tongue.
Not really, bro.
And it's back to the point. It's what you could potentially be doing in terms of the renovations more so than some
right
damn
now,
David Jones fool.
Right now it's the simp, but after these renovations, we'll lose the P, right? We'll get that out of the picture.
Simmons Bank probably doesn't want any. They want the whole thing when you say it and refer to it. So make sure you keep.
No, it's been a real quagmire, hasn't it? That we still haven't quite adjusted to the name change.
Well, you can't call it Liberty Bowl anymore.
You can, but it's just
you can't. It's like calling Memphis State.
Is it? It's not like that.
Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. That's the official name.
You can't call it the Liberty Bowl. The only thing that's the Liberty Bowl is the game.
Okay, but that's a corporate thing, though. The only person you're offending by not calling it Simmons Bank is Simmons Bank.
Harold Grader would also like me to tell y'all it's the AutoZone Liberty Bowl.
Yes, it is
the game is the AutoZone Liberty Bowl.
No, he wanted me to text. He just texted.
We're talking about the facility. Now.
Yes, the facility.
Yeah, the building,
which is the Sim.
Which is
Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium will host the AutoZone Liberty Bowl.
You
can't call it Liberty Bowl anymore unless you're referring to the game.
I understand, so that's why we need a nickname
or something else because Simmons Bank's too long.
I'm not calling it.
We're referring to the building.
I'm not calling it the Sim, bro. It's just not going to catch with me. It's not. You know, I can't do it, bro.
Folks that shoot down good suggestions, but then don't have nothing their damn self.
I'll just call it Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium.
That's what Jarvis and I are sitting here shaking our head. You ain't got nothing to contribute.
Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium.
It's too long. You can't call it that.
The sim is too close to the simp. I'm sorry. It's like I can't. My mind won't get off of that. When you said the sim, I was like, the simp? The what?
The sim. It has two different things. There are no simp connotations to that. Well, I don't even use simp much in my language anymore. When was that? That was early 2000s,
it's just
wasn't it?
It's too low-hanging fruit, right? Like if Memphis football loses to, you know, Tulsa or something at home, it's like, it's now the simp. They some simps over there. Am I wrong? It's too easy to make a joke out of, dude. It's too easy. I'm sorry.
That's right. And as Jarvis said, only for the simps that think that way.
Oh!
Now, he said only for minds who think in that direction. The simps look at it as we're saying simp. It's the sim. It's very good.
This is a war. This is a sim.
Yeah, come with something better if you're going to do this.
Well, I do. You're springing it on me. You didn't give me any opportunity to think, okay, creatively. You didn't give me any opportunity to do that.
No, I wanted your initial reaction.
You got it.
It's far. Just like Miami, you switching over. You're going too far.
I was never on the simp or the sim bandwagon, though. I'm not switching there, in fairness. I mean, I think
you need a new name. It's going to be like a new place with this 150 to 200 million. You need something nice, and you need it quick. Liberty Bowl was quick enough, so we didn't have to worry about any silliness. Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium is too hard to memorize, too long, and we won't be referring to the game. Mm-hmm.
Right. That'd be out of zone.
That's why we can't just stick with Liberty Bowl name.
Well, I mean, we can just do that. It's okay. It's like everybody understands.
Memphis State people said.
No, Memphis State was not a corporate thing.
It's called progress.
The only reason why the name changed of the building is because somebody paid for that name.
It should be different than the actual game, though. It should.
We never called it Liberty Bowl Memorial Stadium.
I'm just saying, we did it for years. It should be different than the game.
Did you call it Liberty Bowl Memorial Stadium?
I called it the Liberty Bowl.
Right. So why can't we just do that?
Progress.
No, it's not. It's just a corporate thing. They'll change the name in 20 years.
Just stop, man.
You're
being contrarian to be contrarian. You've contributed nothing here except hate.
Okay, but is the crypto.com arena stupid? Yes, it is.
What do we say?
The Crip.
Nobody's going back or still calling it Staples or the Forum or anything else. We're calling it the new name.
You're the only one that
wants to stay stuck in the past.
I don't know what they call it on LA radio. Is it possible they still call it Staples?
Everybody says crypto. What are you talking about? And they call it crypto. Well, a short version of it.
Yeah, the Crypt.
Get with progress.
I don't know, man. The sim. I'm open to progress, but can we just come up with a different one than the sim? Just put our heads together.
Didn't come up with it.
I'll make it another.
That's what we'll charge, since it's so bad. Do better, and we'll get to shoot yours down.
It's too close to the sim.
I think it's great.
Let's spitball here for a second. That new rendering looks like the Globe Bowl, because they got that big glowing blue circle around it.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the Globe Bowl pictures?
So there's a new rendering out? I haven't seen it.
Oh, it came out when they asked for the money.
Oh, yeah.
Before they got
the
350.
The halo thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they put a big ring around it. That must be an expensive ring of light.
Well, ultimately, the problem is it's still the same stadium.
Yeah.
Not after you put 150 to 200 million in it, hopefully.
It's still the same thing, though, to me. I mean, yes, update has got new stuff, all that, but it still looks like the Liberty Bowl. It's still the same damn building. You know, I want something entirely new. How about that? Embrace change in that way.
Ooh.
But we only want to embrace the halfway. We half step it,
mm-hmm.
Bro. You came with a lot of hate back from Serbia that you brought home packed in your luggage.
They got some.
Remember where you're from, man.
They got some Liberty Bowl type places out there. You know what I'm saying?
Are they older?
Yeah, of course. Everything in Europe is like from the 16th century. It's like you're stepping back in a damn time machine out there. It's kind of cool. It's kind of cool though.
Oh yeah,
and it's super clean. You wouldn't believe how clean it is out there. Like you go to a parking garage in Serbia. It's great.
It's nice.
You go to a parking garage in downtown Memphis, it smells like piss, dead bodies. That was another key distinction.
Maybe did you really even want to come home? Maybe you should have just stayed in New York or Serbia. Fool.
You got nothing positive to say
about your city, Penny's roster.
Go to a parking garage in Serbia.
And the sim.
Just go smell it.
It's not in the garage, it's in the walkway down.
Yeah, the stairs?
Yeah, it's the stairwells is where the piss smell is.
It smells like feces.
Yeah, it is excrement-like.
It's like we don't, and also, like, our bathroom here,
Yeah, it has the same problem.
It's like it's a widespread community problem, are the smell in Memphis.
David Jones has committed to Memphis. He'll have a great chance to see the Sim during the Tigers football season.
That's right.
And Jarvis and I will be waiting as John comes up with a new nickname for the stadium.
Well, you'll be
next
waiting.
Next story.
Hey, speaking of new digs, Kyrie Irving has an idea. Do you want to hear it?
I'd love to.
Burn some sage. Get ready for this because he's found it. He was sitting around. He was wondering, what can I do to improve my situation here in Dallas? As you know, they were winless after he was traded to Dallas. Basically, they didn't make the play-in, and everybody was saying how much of a waste that trade ended up being. Well, Kyrie Irving has a plan, Jason. He has a plan that is even bigger than the Sim. That plan is all the Mavs got to do is go get the King! Go get LeBron James, according to Chris Haynes.
Ridiculous.
A new twist has emerged in the LeBron James-Kyrie Irving reunion plot. League sources have told Bleacher Report Irving wants the Mavs to explore trading for LeBron James to create a big three alongside himself and Luka. At this point, it's no secret that Irving and James are open to a reunion from their days with the Cavs. LeBron's made it as clear as recently as February's trade deadline that he'd be open to playing alongside his former teammate. The Mavs were preparing to make an offer for LeBron last season when the Lakers were spiraling, despite James being ineligible for a trade due to the date of the extension. The Lakers made a string of change, obviously, as we know, that changed their season, and they went to the Western Conference Finals. Any chance of forming a James Irving Doncic Big Three under the new CBA will be difficult. It's a hard cap. The two, LeBron and Kyrie, would have to take a big pay cut in order to partner with Doncic. Haynes says the easiest path to him going to the Mavs is him orchestrating a buyout. So I just think this is classic that Kyrie is floating. His team is floating this as if there is any realm in this universe, any tesseract in this entire galaxy, universe, dimension where LeBron James is playing basketball for the Dallas Mavericks next season, orchestrating a buyout and taking less. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Zaza.
It's wild. If Kyrie wants to play with him so bad, just take the pay cut.
I'm sure
the Lakers will take you.
Yeah.
On a pay cut. That's the issue for them. They're going to be keeping Austin Reeves. I don't know what they do with the rest of those guys, but it sure seems like they're willing to. They're going to pay Austin Reeves, and that's going to keep Kyrie in terms of joining them. You know, at a point where he'd have to take a huge pay cut, and that's the thing is you're going to ask LeBron to come take one to come play with you in Dallas. It's ridiculous. It reeks of desperation of how he was at that Western Conference Finals, sitting there watching the Lakers. I don't know, what does it say about what you think of just you and Luka? I realize they got to go get a third piece, but right. Does it have to be LeBron for it to be successful? Doesn't that kind of suggest that this kind of desperate, you putting this out there? I mean, there's got to be a way that they can still be good in the competitor without having to go get LeBron James. Doesn't say a lot about what you think of what you got going on right now with Luka.
Well, we saw it, and it wasn't great.
Well, again, that was on the fly. Those guys didn't even know who's going to take the last shot.
Are you optimistic about it?
If they can get a third piece, believe me, it's not going to be LeBron James. LeBron take that. LeBron's locked in.
I would say
should take the pay cut. It's Kyrie.
If any tandem could add LeBron James, yeah, I think that would work. If the Grizzlies could add LeBron, that'd be a nice one at the four, right?
Yeah, you put it that way too.
You might as well just have Chris Haynes might as well report that. Ja Morant has expressed to the Memphis Grizzlies that he would like for them to acquire LeBron James at the three alongside him and Bane.
Why would you put this out? Unless it's LeBron trying to put pressure on his own organization. But what does he want that they're not doing? I think LeBron wants Austin Reeves back. It seems to me like he'd be on board with that, as good as we saw that dude do. And then you're just deciding on guys like Beasley and Rui and one or two others. So I don't know what pressure there is for LeBron to, the I'm not happy pressure. I understood that when, before the trade deadline, but they went out and made made themselves a pretty darn good team. And so, hell, if I'm mad at anybody, if I'm LeBron, it's Anthony Davis, quite frankly, in terms of what I got from him, you know, at times in those playoffs. You need him to be the 1A. He was not. I just don't know what pressure there is for LeBron to apply using this sort of, well, Kyrie says me and him can join up in Dallas. Because he got pretty much what he wanted. He got a better team.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really think there's
He as desperate to play with Kyrie again as Kyrie is seemingly with him?
LeBron James is not going to Dallas when his kid just committed to USC. Right? He's just not doing that.
That's
stupid.
That part of it too. But
he's not doing it. So it's a non-starter. I just can't believe that, you know, I don't know what the...
Well, I said you would use it as leverage.
But,
what's the agenda?
But what is LeBron or whoever, like, what is he trying to get out of it?
That's my point.
There's not much to get out of it. I mean, there's not a whole lot of flexibility that the Lakers have. We've talked about that. They're going to probably pay Reeves. They're going to bring back Rui. I mean, that's the team. And you run it back for a full season. Hope you have a better seed. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, they did go to the Western Conference Finals after being freaking, you know, the seventh seed. Mm-hmm. It's not like I wouldn't be too downtrodden about it. I don't think there's some great big, like, move they need to make. They still have LeBron James and Anthony Davis. You just hope that with a competent, credible roster for 82 games, you're in a better position, not having to play in the play-in. I think that's a fair place to start. You know, Reeves continues to develop, who all of a sudden now is on the Olympic team. This dude went from like a 10-day to the Olympic team. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
GTBW?
I don't think his is a fluke, though.
No, I don't think so either, unless he goes to Charlotte, in which case.
I was in a discussion last night. I was comparing him to Jeremy Lin. I said, no, this ain't Jeremy Lin.
Jeremy Lin was 10 games.
Dude got it out the mud.
Yeah.
He was longer 10, didn't it? The Jeremy Lin sensation lasted longer 10 games.
Yeah, I mean, he got other deals. I'm just saying, like, the peak of it was like, Lin's sanity was like, I don't know, 10, 12 games, something like that.
Maybe so.
That was crazy.
Yeah, this ain't no fluke like that.
No. It's not.
I believe in this kid.
That was a crazy time in America right there, buddy. Lin's sanity.
It was.
He was like the talk. And I want to say Houston maybe was where he got the next deal. And then he ended up in Charlotte. And now he's in Taiwan, I want to say, balling out. Maybe alongside Dwight Howard. They might be on the same team down there. Not sure if they are, but yeah, in that same league, obviously. Anyway, yeah, big idea. Kyrie just wants the Dallas Mavericks to acquire LeBron James. And they'll run it back. Makes sense to me.
Next story.
Know any good college baseball coaches? Memphis is in need of one.
Ooh.
We were discussing sort of the, you know, the whiffs, the misses that have been Memphis looking, trying to get into the Big 12. And it comes back up in this discussion because you got Kerry Jackson, after just one season at Memphis, getting the welcoming, the attention of Power 5 schools like Mizzou, and now is headed there after just one season at Memphis. He has agreed to become the Mizzou head coach. Now, he had been up there before, so there's a history here. But after basically putting together Memphis's first winning season since 2017, it's one game over 500, but there were some high points, certainly, including in the American Athletic Conference tournament, and there was new life in that Memphis baseball program. It's unfortunate that here's the deal, because you're not in one of these Power 5 conferences, you're in a position where you can get poached just about every year, and had somebody point out over the weekend, it's tough, man. It happens in the non-revenue sports. We lose we lose good coaches after, you know, a quick point. You saw it in women's basketball. Now you're seeing it again in baseball. I tell you, though, it's Memphis's plight all the way around. Because even if you've got a football coach who's good, what did we see? Justin Fuente, Mike Norvell moved on to bigger jobs, power conferences. We saw it in basketball with John Calipari. There's no question about that. You saw him move on to what was then a quote-unquote dream job, better conference, everything else. And the only reason it's different for Penny is because this is home. There's no bigger job to get to. But I would tell you that it's not just the non-revenue sports. It's across the board while you're out on the outside looking in when it comes to the Power 5 conferences. Back to Kerrick Jackson. He had been an assistant coach and recruiting coordinator up in Mizzou in 2011-15. So it made a lot of sense for them, especially with the opening and looking down here at Memphis where Kerrick Jackson put together a pretty solid season. So it's unfortunate for Memphis. It's not new.
Right.
Anybody who's good here is going to get looked at and going to get offers. Overtures is the word I was looking for earlier from bigger schools. And so it's Laird Veach's charge, and this was always going to be his charge to be able to quickly replace some of these folks. Now, he did well over on the women's basketball side. We'll see if he can have similar success on the baseball side.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much I can add all other than, as you said, like this, until you get into that autonomy, it's always going to be like this. It's not a bad thing, by the way. Like, I don't think it has to be perceived as a bad thing. I always think it's like the Fuente situation. It's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy. If somebody can look at Memphis baseball now and think, oh, man, it can be done. I can parlay that into a bigger job in a year or 2 years. Mm-hmm. I'll go. I'll give it a shot. You know, whatever that may look like, you know, for the next coach. I don't know. I think it's a very attractive situation to be able to look at a job and say, if I am decent, you know, for 1 year, I will get a Power 5 job. That's very attractive, I think. And I'm sure it's a job that pays decently well. And so you can come here, have some decent facilities, decent to good facilities, you know, and live in a cool part of the country and, you know, get a better job in a year or two. I think there's some attractiveness about that. So I don't think it's all bad, but I do think it's just life in the big city when you're Memphis. You know, you're not a destination. You're not a place where people are going to come settle down and live and retire in these jobs. You know, in basketball even. If it wasn't Penny, if it was somebody else, you know?
If I might, I don't think Carrick saw this happening this quickly. Yeah. He bought a house in East Memphis, I mean, right away.
Yeah.
Right away. This was a dream-ish sort of job because he's from, like Jason, in your report, you said, you know, it was just, this was the perfect storm, unfortunately.
It's not even, you don't even hesitate. I mean, you take the worst job in the SEC.
Triple your
over
salary.
Memphis.
You go from probably 250 to 750.
It's not even close. You know? It's not even close. I mean, I don't think anybody needs to, I don't think there's any animosity over whether it was Katrina, whether it's Carrick. Like, it's just an obvious thing. Like, no explanation is needed. You know, it should be pretty obvious to everybody that Missouri or any Power 5 job is better than Memphis in almost every sport. I mean, is this breaking news? Do people think that not think that?
I mean, Brian Moss, over the weekend, he was first to have this news, I think, too. So credit to him. But he mentioned, in terms of replacements, maybe you don't have to look too far. Maybe you just give it to Tim Jamison, who was the Missouri head coach when our guy Carrick was up there.
Up there, yeah.
And why would Missouri take him back as an assistant when, if you can just offer Tim Jamison, who's been a head coach and was your pitching coach, I believe, here at Memphis under Carrick? So Carrick had worked for him at Missouri, and Jamison was working for him here. Why would Jamison go back to Missouri where he was head coach as an assistant under Carrick? So just offer, and that way it'd be a way to keep your class together, like some of the momentum. You know, maybe you're ready to give it to a guy like Julian Henson, who's also
like
on that staff,
hire.
And I love Julian Henson. But Tim Jamison's been as Moss points out, he's been a head coach.
Yep.
Is he going to follow Carrick to Jackson and Missouri again? I would doubt it. You're not going to go to Missouri where you were the head coach and go work for a guy that now is that was your recruiting coordinator. So why not just – maybe this isn't tough for Laird Veach at all. You just go to Tim Jamison and say – hey,
I think the Henson thing, though, you got recruiting there. Like, that's why Carrick brought him on staff, because
you keep Henson on the staff.
Yeah.
I just think Tim Jamison has been a head coach, so that's why him the nod over Julian Henson, and you keep Julian Henson on staff.
I got
If Julian ain't going with Carrick up to Missouri.
He might. He might.
But Bob said, you would think Carrick take the whole staff. Well, Tim Jamison be a guy maybe you don't take because, again, he was the head coach.
The Mizzou deal. Yeah.
Just give it to Tim Jamison. Keep Julian Henson on staff, hopefully, and they can keep the momentum going that clearly Carrick had going. That way, you keep recruiting, you keep it, you know, keep it the way it's going, you keep it in the flow that it
Look,
is.
Look, you don't want people in jobs where they don't have ambition.
There you go.
You know, and so I don't think it's not a bad thing. It's not a negative that he. And I know people will. Typically, it's like, oh, you only came here for 1 year. You only did. Well, I mean, you'd have done the same thing if you were in my situation. That also, to me, says this job can be turned around in that short of time. And so it's a good situation for the next coach. You sell that. You sell, hey, yeah, I know we didn't do this in 17 years. We didn't do this and this and this and this. But look at what one guy did in one season. Look how close he came. Didn't even have to make the NCAA tournament. And he got a job at Missouri. Now, I know there were some connections there, too. But that's not – you're not getting into the weeds like that. In your job search, you're saying it can be done here, and it can be done here fast. So if you want to come somewhere where you have the support and you have the facilities, again, I'm just selling these things. Whether they're true or not is not my concern. You can get a fine candidate. Maybe he's on staff here. Maybe he's not.
Yeah.
Don't care. I think it's going to work out just fine for Memphis baseball. And for Memphis women's basketball.
Brian Moss Namowitz that had the news first from Rivals yesterday. Tip of the cap to him for breaking it on Carrick. And then I think he's right that they should just give it to Tim James.
Yeah. Either way, busy weekend for Memphis sports. No question about it. All right, we'll come back. Got some respect burgers. Got a disrespect dog to hand out. Then Jason Fitz is going to join us at 125. Stick around. Jason and John.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Turn FM, ESPN. Jaren Jackson Jr., who is apparently the at the old age of 23 or 24, however old he is these days, the most mature player on the team, he did make an appearance on the Paul George podcast. Everybody has a podcast, Jason.
Where?
Literally everywhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are or what you do. If you can breathe, you have a podcast. Congratulations.
Draymond's probably got the best player podcast, though.
We're inundated with podcasts.
This is good.
I mean, do we not? At what point do we say to ourselves, this is just too much?
Stop, man. Stop taking stuff away from the players. Let them live.
But it's like everybody has
a lot
one
of hating
now.
Today.
Like Austin Rivers has a podcast, bro. Do we really need Austin Rivers?
Nope.
But we
saw
got him
on Get Up.
We got him.
Not good.
We got him. So I feel like honestly, if you're going to do that, if you're going to be a player, and it's got you got to have a few all-star appearances. That's just my opinion. It's my opinion. You got to have a couple to be.
Now, did JJ have one when he was still playing? I think he did.
Did he? I don't know and if he ever made
he
an all-star.
That's what I'm saying.
So.
And his was fine, so it should not have to be a qualification. You not necessarily still have a good podcast.
Yeah, well, he went to Duke, though.
Shut you down.
He went to Duke. Did Austin Rivers go to Duke?
Didn't he?
Yeah, he did, too. I guess if you went to Duke, you don't have to have star appearance. Everybody else has to have one, though, is the criteria. Anyway, Paul George.
I think Austin went to Texas Tech, didn't he?
No.
Oh, I was thinking of Austin Reeves, sorry.
Yeah.
Rivers.
And Austin Reeves.
Austin
Reeves didn't go to Texas Tech either. Austin Reeves went to Oklahoma and at Wichita State.
Yeah.
Wichita State.
Yeah.
Remember
we looked this up. He played Memphis.
Had a good game, too.
He lit their ass up.
Yep. He did.
I don't even remember thinking this kid, oh, man, this Austin Reeves kid's a pro. He's going to be a $60 million player.
So this is Paul's podcast here that you got this from?
Yeah, this is Paul George. And Jaren was on there, and he was obviously talking about the season that just occurred. And this is what he had to say.
How do you feel about the team's future?
I think getting humbled is the best thing for us. I think it's going to make us way more hungry. Hungry like we were like 3 years ago. There was no expectation on anything. We got leveled at the end of the year, so we got to sit with that all summer. We were done in May. Like, okay, like, damn, we're done in May? We got hella time. I'm watching the other games, like, really not happy, like, tripping.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be the best thing for us. We're going to have that edge. We're going to come back, and we're going to be so hungry. We're not going to worry about anything. We're going to remember that feeling. Probably all the way up until the playoffs, and we're going to get it done.
There you have it. That's Jaren on the previous season. I haven't seen the full episode. That's just a clip that made it to Twitter, so I don't have anything else to give you. But what's your reaction when you hear that?
I think he's right. And we said as much that it would be a humbling for the players, for Taylor Jenkins, and for that front office. I think that's exactly what it was, all the way from the top to the bottom. Front office said, we went too young. Taylor Jenkins obviously has to look at himself, and I mean, everybody, just like everyone else does. There's nothing specific it comes to point to when it comes to Taylor Jenkins, but you did have questions like early in the series, the number said that you should pull Dylan Brooks off the floor and put Luke Kennard out there. You're slow to do that. So there are things he's got to look at, and then the things obviously those players have to look at. Now, part of the issue in terms of the humbling was when you've got guys like, you know, Dylan Brooks putting you in a position before that Lakers series or during that Lakers series when he's talking like, and then the way he's performing, you know, you're cutting him out. That's part of this too.
Yeah.
And set that aside from the humbling of the guys that are going to be back. You learned that Dylan Brooks doesn't fit anymore. That's out.
Yep.
But yes, of the guys that are back of the front office for Taylor Jenkins, I think it absolutely was. And for Ja Morant and everything he's been through individually now, it should be a humbling for him. But I think both as a team, organization, individually for Ja more so than anybody else, it should be a humbling. And yes, I don't think that should just be a narrative. That should be something you come back to the fold ready to get back to work.
Yeah.
No more talk. You prove it on the floor.
That's right.
As opposed to saying it. I think that lesson hopefully was learned last
year. Yeah, and unfortunately, they're not going to be able to do that until, you know, 4 or 5 months from now. But I'm obviously, I understand he has to say that, and it's the right thing to say. But just show everybody, you know. Until then, like, I think this fan base has been subjected to enough, you know, talk about it.
I think they've been naive in many ways. The organization, the players, that this, how easy that this would be, right? Or where we're supposed to be. And, yeah, hey, we've been the number two seed for the last year. You know, your leader saying not worried about the West. That there was a bit of, how's it pronounced, John? Naivete when it comes to it.
Yeah.
When it comes to this organization, the way it looked at it. Freaking Kleiman thinking that, okay, I could move on from Kyle and DeAnthony and play all these young, get all these young guys in there, and we'll be as good or better. And he admitted as much, and that's an important part of it, admitting that you were wrong. And so, yes, man, I think Jaren should speak more often for the franchise because I think he gets it. He's now in a position of leadership both with the team, but also in terms of the NBA and that vice presidential status with the NBPA. I love when Jaren talks because he usually says the right things, and more of that. Right throughout the organization is what I think you need.
Yeah.
Realizing that you ain't got it all figured out right now. Well, that's front office to tailor to players.
I think, you know, yeah, you should never overrate or underrate, I should say, how hard it is. Because you look at the Boston Celtics, for example. I mean, how are they feeling today? They've got, you know, one of the best players in the NBA, and they're, you know, they've been on the doorstep, knocking on the doorstep. And now they've taken a step back.
They would tell you two of the best players in the NBA, although I know you and I wouldn't put Jalen our top 15. He is all NBA this year.
No, he is,
I mean, it's not just one guy, it's two.
He's about to be the highest paid player in the NBA.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.